We'll see if we can pull up the PowerPoint here. It'll be just a moment. I wish I could speak to you directly in Hungarian, but those of you who don't speak English, you will have to get my speech through translation. The distinguished speaker that we just heard from is an expert on what is happening on life and family issues at the European level, and I'm going to be speaking to you about what is happening on life and family issues at the international level. I am so grateful for this opportunity to address these two critical issues. I'm thrilled with this opportunity to speak to you because I believe Hungary has a pivotal role to play in protecting life and family values on the international scene. The power you have in this room to shape policies that can impact families across the world is much greater than you realize. My purpose, the reason I flew all the way here from the state of Arizona, is to urge Hungary, to plead with Hungary, to rise up and seize the opportunity before you to become a major world player in the battle to protect life and family values at the international level. Marriage, family, and life issues are some of the most controversial issues debated in UN negotiations. UN member states will argue all night over provisions calling for respect for the family, life, parental rights, religious freedom, and cultural values. Family Watch International is an organization with members in over 170 countries from all different faiths and backgrounds. People across the world have a common value and a common stake in protecting the institution of the family. It is something that we share across the world. A World Values Survey that collected data from 39 diverse countries across the world found a high level of support for marriage and family. Data from this survey was collected from the regions of Latin America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, and North America. Yes, including the United States. And they found, this survey revealed, that the vast majority of people in the world do believe that, quote, a child needs to be raised in a home by both a mother and a father to grow up happily, and that more emphasis needs to be placed on the family. And while this may be the majority worldview, the problem is that the majority of the people in the world have no way of making their voices heard directly at the United Nations, partly because they are not even aware of the battle, the war over family values that is happening there constantly. I'd like to talk to you today about the sexual rights movement, which is the biggest obstacle to the protection of the institution of the family. This is an ongoing battle at the United Nations and in many countries of the world over two radically different worldviews. Worldviews regarding human sexuality and reproduction. And at the center of this battle is a fight over the context in which people believe sexual relations should occur and how governments and schools should deal with life and sexuality issues. And since most people have deeply felt convictions regarding these issues, the outcome of this battle has great import for all of us. There are two main sides in this war over the family. And one is the pro-family side. The pro-family side believes that people are born with a fixed gender that is either male or female. Sexual relations should occur in a legal marriage between a man and a woman. And that sexual relations outside of marriage creates negative consequences for men, women, children, and thus society. Now, some come to this pro-family view because of religious beliefs, and others because the overwhelming social science data shows that any sexual relations outside of marriage, whether they be heterosexual, homosexual, extramarital, or premarital, any sexual relations outside of marriage generally bring negative outcomes to individuals who engage in them. Numerous studies also show that those negative outcomes generate enormous economic and social costs that governments have to deal with. On the opposing side of this battle are sexual rights activists who are aggressively seeking to push their worldview on countries around the world and through the United Nations. Sexual rights activists generally believe that children are sexual from birth. The pursuit of sexual pleasure is a fundamental human right for children and adults alike. Any impediment to sexual pleasure is a violation of human rights, which they claim are protected in international treaties under equality and non-discrimination clauses. Gender is not biological. It's something that you can choose. Women and girls have a right to government-funded abortion on demand. These are just some of the views of the sexual rights activists. And in fact, many sexual rights activists that are pushing policies at the United Nations believe that there are more than two genders, including male, female, homosexual male, homosexual female, transgender, and a number of other genders. Some even believe that labeling children as either male or female based on their genitals constitutes child abuse, and that people have a right to government-provided hormone therapy and sex change operations. We do see this being pushed even by countries at the United Nations. They believe that laws, policies, and education that does not only affirm but also promote their worldview of human sexuality are a violation of human rights. They believe in absolute sexual freedom. Again, both sides of this battle are trying to get their values protected in laws and policies and promoted in the schools. But the sexual rights activist side is much more aggressive. Their top goal is to get sexual preferences and behaviors established as internationally recognized human rights under the banner of sexual rights. Now, what are sexual rights? Sexual rights consist of a lot of different things. It is an elastic term that can be used to promote almost anything related to human sexuality and reproduction. In 2002, the World Health Organization issued a report that admitted that there is no international consensus on the definition of sexual rights. Yet in that same report, the WHO presented its own radical definition of sexual rights, which has been used by sexual rights activists in pushing international, national, and even state and local policies. The World Health Organization's definition of sexual rights is, it includes access to sexual and reproductive health services, and this phrase is constantly used to promote abortion on demand. Also, access to all information regarding sexuality. This could include pornography and graphic sexuality education for children. The right to sexuality education is also a very big one. You'll learn more about why that is so dangerous. And the right to decide whether or not to have children, which of course would include contraception and abortion on demand. The right to consensual sexual relations, that would include legalized prostitution and even is sometimes used to promote adult child sex. The right to consensual marriage is often considered a sexual right, which also would include same-sex marriage. According to a highly controversial report issued in 2004 by the UN Special Rapporteur, which is an expert hired by the UN, his name was Paul Hunt, he says sexual rights also include the right of all persons to express their sexual orientation without fear, persecution, denial of liberty, or social interference. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that if we wanted to have a working definition of what sexual rights are that are being pushed internationally, we could say that they are any alleged rights connected to issues surrounding human sexuality and reproduction, and they may include any of these on the PowerPoint here that are listed. They're battles over all these issues and whether issues surrounding these should be rights, including contraception, abortion, sexual relations, sexual orientation, employment, housing. There are many, many areas that touch upon these alleged sexual rights, which is why sexual rights activists are using this broad term, this elastic term, sexual rights, as a banner to almost deceptively push their whole agenda. And so at the United Nations, when the word sexual rights is ever proposed, There is a huge battle, and up to this point, up until yesterday, this term, sexual rights, has been rejected by the majority of countries in the world in every UN negotiation, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But now I want to talk to you about what we call the Magna Carta of the sexual rights movement. You've probably never heard of this, which is part of the problem, because most people aren't aware this is going on. This document is called the Yogyakarta Principles, and it was launched at the United Nations by the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights with several countries, and this document has been cited in numerous UN reports and documents. But these Yogyakarta Principles were written by a group of self-proclaimed experts on international law relating to sexual orientation and gender identity. In fact, there were 9 UN special rapporteurs that were on the committee to draft these principles. And although there are many serious problems with these principles, Principle 21 of the Yogyakarta Principles is especially problematic. This is because it basically states that sexual rights trump religious liberty and free speech rights. And it calls upon nations to, quote, ensure that the expression, practice, and promotion of different opinions, convictions, and belief with regard to issues of sexual orientation or gender identity is not undertaken in a manner incompatible with human rights. In plain speaking, Principle 21 tells us that governments are supposed to regulate not only a citizen's speech or expression, but also their opinions, their convictions, and their beliefs regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. And this is to be done in a manner compatible with the sexual rights activists' view of what constitutes human rights. Now, several UN member states and the UN Commissioner of the High Commissioner of Human Rights, as I said, launched this, and they're trying to make this an international consensus document. To help you understand how this might be implemented down at the local level, we picked up this book at a UN event. It was spread around at several UN events, and it's actually a comic book that's meant to teach children their rights under the Yogyakarta Principles. You'll notice on the left-hand side, there's a young girl with a tear in her eye. Her name is Gina. She is sad because her female teacher is moving away, and she has strong feelings for her teacher that are never resolved until later she meets a lesbian girl named Ai, who she falls in love with as well. Ai protects Gina from being bullied by other students and becomes Gina's friend. And Ai tells Gina that she's pretty and gives her a book on lesbianism, and they enter into a lesbian relationship. Then Gina's father finds out, and of course, he's really angry, and he's pictured as violent and controlling, as they like to depict all fathers, and he hits her, he slaps her, and the comic book then quotes from the Yogyakarta Principles, Principles 10 and 19, and it cites, quote, the right to freedom from torture and cruel and inhumane or degrading treatment or punishment, saying that no one should be treated like Gina was treated because of their sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, we may all agree that the father should not have reacted violently in this comic. It goes too far, but it also goes too far in the sense that it claims that Gina's father violated his daughter's human rights, her alleged right to, quote, freedom of opinion and expression. In other words, according to the Yogyakarta Principles, the alleged sexual rights of children trump the rights of their parents, even when parents are operating in the child's best interest. And that is a dangerous, dangerous policy. Sexual rights came to a head just this week at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland. Now that you've learned how dangerous the term is, I want to tell you about what happened at the Human Rights Council. For the past 2 weeks, the Human Rights Council has been negotiating a resolution. It's supposed to be a resolution to fight maternal mortality and morbidity, to help save mothers' lives. However, the negotiations were hijacked by sexual rights activists, and the resolution really is only being used as a tool to promote sexual rights. And the way it is doing this is it endorses in 4 different places a new report by the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights. Now, this new report sounds wonderful. The name of it is the technical guidance on the application of a human rights-based approach to the implementation of policies and programs to reduce preventable maternal morbidity and mortality. A long-sounding title that basically says it's a resolution to save the lives of women who may die in childbirth or because of complications related to childbirth. The problem is that this report actually pushes sexual rights over 35 times. And they took advantage of the fact that most UN member states were busy in New York because there's a big General Assembly with their heads of states there. And so they slipped this into this document. And if this document, I'm sorry to tell you, this document was just adopted at the Human Rights Council yesterday, which means it's the equivalent that the Human Rights Council has now endorsed the entire radical sexual rights agenda by endorsing this document. I pray that when this document, this resolution, gets sent to the General Assembly for approval from the entire General Assembly, that the government of Hungary can stand up against this, because I know this is against your constitution and these sexual rights that are elastic, that encompass this entire sexual rights agenda, is not something that the Hungarian government supports. In fact, there are a number of countries that don't support this. Most of the African voting bloc and the Islamic voting bloc, and I believe Russia, and also some of the Caribbean islands, but this got snuck in there, and we need help from Hungary to make sure it is not endorsed by the entire General Assembly. Now, I'm going to go into another aspect, which I believe is the center of the fight to protect the family, because the sexual rights movement have now put all their energies in what I see at the international level in pushing what is called comprehensive sexuality education. They are trying to establish this as an international right mandated by treaties and conventions. This is because if they can raise up the next generation of children educated in radical sexual ideologies and teach them to advocate for sexual rights, then they will have won the battle. Comprehensive sexuality education comes in many forms, and it can be disguised as human rights or HIV/AIDS education or even life skill programs. But most of the ones I'm talking about contain a number of the elements that are listed on these slides. They promote abortion and contraception as sexual rights for children. They teach children how to advocate for sexual rights. They teach children graphically in specific ways how to obtain sexual pleasure. They promote condoms to children and they don't inform them of their failure rates. They teach children to masturbate. They encourage them to experiment sexually with children with of their own sex or of the opposite sex. I'll skip some of these because they're quite graphic. But the number one enemies to those who are pushing comprehensive sexuality education are parents, because parents generally teach their children to avoid sexual activity before marriage, and religion. So they also constitute an assault on parental rights and religious freedom. Most, if not all, the UN-funded and supported comprehensive sexuality education programs contain many of the elements that are listed on these slides. This is one that was promoted as a special breakfast that UN delegates were invited to. This is a comprehensive sexuality education program called It's All One. It's produced by International Planned Parenthood, one of the largest providers of comprehensive sexuality education. There's also another publication called Exclaim by the same company. And Exclaim is also distributed through the UN, and it states that young people are entitled to sexual pleasure and how to experience different forms of sexual pleasure, and this is important to their health. And they're teaching this to children as young as age 10. It's All One asks children to do a lot of inappropriate things, and we don't have time to go through them all, and some of it is too graphic for me to really want to state in this kind of forum. But we have excerpts from all these manuals that are being pushed and funded by UN agencies up on our website. If you go to standforfamiliesworldwide.org, that's standforfamiliesworldwide.org, you can find the evidence that everything that I'm telling you is absolutely true. In fact, UNESCO, a couple of years ago, produced what's called the International Guidelines on Sexuality Education. And these guidelines were meant to go to every ministry of education to teach all the education systems across the world what is the premier standard for teaching children. And unfortunately, they said that these standards that they created were actually called for in UN documents. And that's not simply not true, but that's the way they're promoted. The UNESCO guidelines call for respect for sexual and gender diversity. They teach children important things like a man who becomes a woman and is attracted to another woman would be identified as a lesbian, and how to talk about all these sexually diverse topics. Again, masturbation is not harmful. Both men and women can give and receive sexual pleasure with a partner of the same sex or the opposite sex. Again, this is funded and produced by a UN agency to be used with children and in education systems across the world. Before we get to this slide, I want to tell you about the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Education. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Education produced a report that he gave to the General Assembly on the right to education. And that report claimed that there is now an international right to comprehensive sexuality education. And he said that this kind of education includes, quote, a right for children to have pleasurable sexual experiences. And the report further claimed that that right can only be realized if children receive this comprehensive sexuality education from the outset, the beginning of their schooling. According to the report, children as young as 5, or possibly even preschools, must be taught about this right. This report was created by the Special Rapporteur, Benor Menyoz, who had this mandate from the UN to study this issue. However, he really was just promoting his own personal worldview and the sexual rights activist view of sexual freedom. He said in this report, he considers that sexual pleasure in and enjoyment of sexuality should be one of the goals of comprehensive sexual education, and it should also abolish guilt feelings about eroticism that restrict sexuality to a mere reproductive function. I could go on and on about the attack against parents and religions, which he says shouldn't have a role in protecting children from these things, but we don't have time to go into that. So I've had to bring up some quite unpleasant things, but I felt a need to bring these up because we are talking about our children. We are talking about children as young as age 5. We are talking about an agenda that is seeking to sexualize them and give them all this sexual technical know-how. And at a conference about protecting life, we are all about preventing early pregnancies and teen pregnancies, and the things that are being promoted at the United Nations through these NGOs and some of the more liberal countries are actually serving to sexualize children and cause more early pregnancies and create more issues of children that need homes and that we need to advocate for and push for adoption and other options instead of abortion. I apologize for having to bring that news to you, but I'm hoping that in doing so, that those of you that are here will want to do something about it. And I want to give you some good news. I want to try to redeem my presentation by bringing us back to the good news. To remember that at the beginning of my presentation, I said that the majority of the people in the world believe in the family. They believe children need a mother and a father. They do not believe that children should be seeking sexual pleasure and all these crazy things that we heard about. So all we have to do is educate people that these things are going on and help everyone have their voice be heard at the international level. So how do we do this? I would like each of you to join a coalition. If you represent an organization, I would like you to join a coalition called Stand for Families Worldwide. This coalition has been set up to try to stop the sexual rights agenda that is sexualizing our children. And you can come talk to me afterwards. We would love to hear your voice and have you join us at the international level, because what happens at the international level trickles down. You know, there are court cases at the European Union that are citing these international treaties and these developments and these new interpretations by UN committees that are reading these sexual rights into those documents, even though they're not there. And it can eventually affect your court decisions and your laws and countries across the world. Also, I would like to invite you to go to our Family Policy Resource Center on our website at familywatchinternational.org. We have lots of policy briefs on all the information I've been talking to you about that has all the evidence and all the documentation, and you can help people spread this information around and raise awareness. And third, I'd like to provide for you this resource guide that you can use, which is free online, also at familywatchinternational.org. This was created to help UN delegates protect the family and life in UN negotiations, but it is useful for people who are working to protect the family at the local, national, and regional level as well, because it contains all sorts of wonderful consensus language that's agreed upon language from prior UN treaties that support the family, that support parental rights, that support life and the protection of children. And so when policies are proposed that are against these values, you can simply counteract them by proposing the good language found in this. I have I think I have about 10 hard copies here that if you are in a government position and you could find this useful as a tool, it's actually used in UN negotiations. I'd love to give you a copy, but again, it's free. All the information that we have is free and available online. There is power in this room to do much good. Each one of you has more power than you know. 12 years ago, I was a stay-at-home mom who had never been politically active in doing anything. And I found myself in a UN negotiation room observing and found myself with a tool like this. I had the right provision to help a UN delegate that affected a UN policy, and I was shocked. I thought, how could I have done that not knowing anything and not being politically active? I can tell you that if you have a desire to protect children, family, and life, you will find a way to make a difference. And I invite you all to join with me and good organizations and people around the world to protect marriage and the family. Let's work together moving forward to ensure that the family is recognized in all policies as the natural and fundamental group unit of society that is entitled to, quote, protection by society and state, as called for by Article 16.3 in the International Declaration of Human Rights, and that life is protected before as well as after birth, as called for in the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Future generations are depending on us. Thank you.
Szeretném most felkérni Ékes Ilona képviselő asszonyt, aki egyébként a Magyar Asszonyok Érdekszövetségének tiszteletbeli elnöke is, hogy tartsa meg beszédét a törvényhozás szerepe a kiszolgáltatottak védelmében címmel.